Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast, a relaxing and informative show where we explore anxiety, panic, and PTSD, sharing how you can overcome them for life.
Aloha, welcome back to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast.
I'll be talking with author Tom Rutledge today. You may recognize his name by his great one-liners that I repost on our Facebook group once in a while, and I think you'll really enjoy this interview. Our guest today is Tom Rutledge. He's a psychotherapist in Nashville, Tennessee. Tom conducts telephone and Skype sessions. He does workshops, and all of that information is on his really lovely website, www.tomrutledge.com, which that website will be listed in the show notes, so please go back there and check that out. Tom's the author of many, many books, including Embracing Fear, How to Turn What Scares Us into Our Greatest Gift, which is totally what we talk about here on Anxiety Coaches Podcast, and his most recent book, The Greater Possibilities, 125 Reflections on the Method and Meaning of Genuine Success, which sounds fabulous. He's been featured on NBC's Today Show, CNN's Anderson Cooper 360, the Fox Network, Australia's Channel 10, and he has consulted with the Dr. Phil Show. Welcome to my show, Tom Rutledge. I'm so glad you're here with me, Tom.
I'm glad too. Also, I'm glad I appreciate your support of my work, and I'm glad to get to talk with you.
Yeah, I've been a supporter for a long time, starting with eating disorders, and, you know, that's how I fell into a lot of this anxiety work, was realizing that everybody with eating disorders had a lot of anxiety.
That's when people talk about dual diagnosis, you know, when they talk about anxiety or depression, and what I say based on my history, I go like, I scoff at dual diagnosis. You only have two? I mean, come on.
We all
have many, but none of it, and I refer a lot to my alcoholism. It's not the same as eating disorder, but that we have a lot in common, and underneath all of that stuff is a lot of fear.
Yeah, fear. And that's what you write a lot about, is the fear.
Right.
So I think that's kind of a good place to start, because that's what we're all about here. That's what I hear about day in, day out, is what people, they wake up with fear, right? It doesn't even seem to be apparently triggered by anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you got writing about fear. Tell me about that core fear issue. Where does that come from? What are we doing? How do we get there?
Well, it comes from lots of different sources. The first thing I want to teach people is how to see themselves in relationship to fear, as opposed to having fear. It's like, so I use something that is, other people use this kind of metaphor, but I kind of exaggerated, I think, more than most, and did it a lot with eating disorder. But I have people imagine that fear is I call it the bully. It's like there's a bully in our heads that is always there to scare us. You know, he's going to do one of two things. He's going to scare us or shame us. And he's good at both of those things. And so when you talk about when you wake up with fear, the image I would give somebody is it really does feel like you wake up and the bully is sitting on your bedside already talking to you, already telling you things that could go wrong today and all these. You know, a friend of mine she says she calls hers the director of fiction. because he just makes up all kinds of scary stories to tell her.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, and he's very compelling as a storyteller.
Yeah, and it is fiction.
Yes. It's when we talk about that fear, I was talking to someone yesterday about that. I said, we called these guys by different names depending on who the client is. You don't sell this stuff off the rack. It's everybody's different. But this woman was calling hers the prophet, meaning that it prophesied, it predicted horrible things in the future. And it's funny. I said, how many times is the prophet accurate? And she stops and thinks, and guess what the answer is? Never. He's never been accurate. It's like, and I think about how many of us have that prophet in our head who have a lifetime of inaccuracies. He's never hit once. And yet when he speaks, we just stop and listen. You know, because he speaks with such authority. He or she, whatever it is in there, speaks with such authority. You know, and so
we give it full attention.
To me, it's really helpful to be able to say, like, wait a minute, I really can't predict the future. And even when I think I can, when that voice tells me what it is, it may tell me something's going to go wrong next week. Something may go wrong next week, but it's not going to be what he tells me it is. It's going to be something different. It's like, you know, so I think it's really important to listen and realize these guys, their purpose, that fear voice in there, its purpose is to scare us.
Yeah.
You know, that's where, and part of what we're learning, what I teach people to do is to say, you're not going to get rid of fear, but we can change our relationship to it. And we're going to teach you to stand up to it. And we're going to teach you to basically disagree with it. And not let, you know, basically not mistake its thoughts, its threats for my thoughts. It's like, no, I'm going to have an opinion of my own.
Yeah. And I find a lot of people are quite amazed when I talk to them and discuss that every thought they have is not true. There are a lot of people who have not considered that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They think because it came through their mind, it must be true.
Right.
Or going to be true. Right.
One of the things that feeds into that, Gina, is actually something I began writing about when in my very first book way back in the 1900s. It's like that's my favorite thing to say. It's that we don't understand in our world that the nature of consciousness is multiple, not singular. So I call it the myth of singularity, and it's how we make ourselves crazy. We think we're supposed to have one thought about something and one feeling about something, when in fact, as human beings, it's very crowded and messy up there. And there's a lot, just because you have a thought, like you said, it doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean you believe it. Sometimes I'll ask people the question. I think one of my one-liners says, "How much of what you believe do you really believe?" You know, because a lot of times we just carry these beliefs that we've just absorbed in our culture from our families. You know, and a lot of that is part of the fear. You talk about where it comes from, the way of thinking, the fear-based way of thinking, and we haven't actually thought. Like you said, it's fun to surprise people and say, "By the way, we can hit the pause button." And we can start to look around and get to know who all these people are in our heads. And it's like, and we're going to get to make choices.
Yeah. Choices. Imagine that.
But what we do, we get to choose what we want to think. We get to choose what we want to believe.
Yeah.
And that's where we change our relationship to our fear.
Yeah. So it can be there, which is what is true, right? It will be there. Fear comes up. Life we're living.
Well, and that's very important. This is the extent of my neurological knowledge. Here it comes. It's like the brain does not encode a negative. If I say, don't think of the color blue, what happens? You don't go through a cognitive process. You know, don't think of a pink elephant. It's like that just happens. Now think about how much energy and time that we as clients in our businesses, but also as professionals, if we're not careful, how much time are we trying to help people get rid of things? Stop thinking that way. Just, you know, stop doing it. It's like, so instead what I'm saying is that's the serenity prayer. That's the thing I cannot change. The thing I can change is what do I think about that? You know,
right.
I mean,
what do I think about it?
I'm a piece of crap. And so I go like, okay, well, that voice in me says, my bully says I'm a piece of crap. So what do I think? That's what I got to ask the question and realize I can have a separate opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the helper of having it as a sort of an entity, like a bully or a a prophet or whatever, right. Because then you can have your own a different opinion. It makes sense in your mind.
Right, you have an identity. It's like it's like otherwise if you don't see yourself in a relationship, you're basically possessed by them. And it's right. The way I say it is the fear has the I pronoun, or if I'm talking about eating disorder, Ed has the I pronoun, the alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And then as long as I'm saying, for instance, I am a piece of crap, there's no room in there for anything else to be there. I can't make that thought go away. But if I change it, if I change it to here's a bully saying, Tom, you are a piece of crap. It leaves open, it changes the problem definition. Now the problem definition isn't that I have a bully in my head, it is that I tend to believe it. And it's a codependent relationship.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I didn't know that was on.
It's okay. We're relaxed
now
over
it's
here.
Not.
Yeah. We have the choice then. It's a relationship. And what am I gonna do in this relationship? Do I believe this?
Right.
Entity, Ed, that I started with Ed when I was working with the gals with eating disorders. And, boy, they did really well by having Ed as one part of them. Yeah, it wasn't all of them.
Right, and it's also very important for anybody who's listening to this stuff, too, is and I use a phrase from AA, it's simple but not easy. There's, as a matter of fact, I was just writing about, I was creating a piece I'm putting out later today or tomorrow about that, the idea that it's very important for us to understand and to have compassion for each other, that these very simple ideas are extremely difficult to practice, because we're working against a lifetime of repetition.
Yeah.
All of this stuff has just been there over and over and over again, and it's like, so what we're pushing against is it takes a lot of practice. And one of the things I want people to know is I tell people, right, it's hard. This is really hard. And I don't want you to think just because it's hard that means you're not doing it or you're not getting better, because sometimes, as a matter of fact, I think one of the things I put out recently was sometimes desperation is what it feels like, but that actually needs to become determination, because we're going to feel desperate at times because this stuff is overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And it doesn't happen overnight, right?
Oh.
So time. We need time and patience,
Practice makes practice.
Yeah. And so I love that. So tell us, what is the basic way to start to come out? What do you suggest for people? My people are all anxious. It's that anxiety, big, huge umbrella, right?
Well, the first step I would say to people is just journaling. It's basically identify, name it whatever you want to name, for the sake of just clarity. I call it the bully in our head. So just make two columns. Just write a column of things the bully is saying to you, of course, time. Now, and here are the rules, and very important rules. You must write the bully's messages in the second person. In other words, it has to be Gina. You are Gina. You have to whatever it is.
Right.
Like you. And what we're doing is we're taking the I pronoun away from the bully. So I get to keep the I pronoun, and it's like and the bully doesn't get to. It has to speak to me. Now the second column is going to be your response. So you're going to put it in there and go like, now here's what I want people to know. Since this has been going on for so long, this is about awareness. Your first response is going to be agreement. Okay?
It's
a lot of times, because we're such perfectionists and we want to make our therapists feel so good about themselves, what we'll do is we'll think we're supposed to be fighting back. It's like, no, that's not where it starts. It's where it starts is, Tom, you're a piece of crap. I know it. That's fine, because now you're becoming aware. We're creating a problem definition, and over time we're actually, you said that this is how we start. We're going to change that. We're going to create some other things later. We're going to actually put another voice in there. I call it the recovery voice, or the wisdom voice. And we're going to give you somebody else to listen to. But to begin with, we really just kind of have to put the spotlight on the dysfunctional codependent relationship in our head, whereas it's like a domestic violent relationship. Basically, as long it tells us what to think and we're supposed to think it, and if we dare think something for ourselves, it attacks us.
Wow,
it really does.
That is a great way to put it, Tom. I haven't thought about it that way.
Yeah, as long,
abusive relationship.
As long as you're doing everything that pleases me, everything will be fine. But if you dare have a thought independent of mine, you're in trouble.
Whoa. Really good way to look at it. Wow. I love that journaling piece.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing, but it's a great beginning, and it's just so good to write it down and look at it, just to be able to see it. And it's discouraging at first. I always want people to know, when you look at this, and by the way, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was complaining about how my books don't sell as well as I want them to sell. And, mm-hmm. and he said, Tom, in every book you've ever written, you tell people how hard this is. He says, if you want your book to sell better, you got to start telling them it's easy.
I'm
going to stick with integrity and lower book sales. But it's, I want people to know that it's really hard, because that way it helps them not be discouraged. Because it's like, it's going to be hard. It's going to sometimes be like you're swimming through Jell-O, you know. But keep doing it. If you keep practicing, you will come out on the other side.
You do, and things do look different when you come out the other side.
Better, yeah. But
it's amazing.
Darker before the dawn, though.
Always, yeah. Always. Yeah, that's, you never know what's around that next corner, so you can't stop. You just got to keep
walking. One of my one-liners I have around here somewhere says, just because you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel doesn't mean it's not there. You know, right. And sometimes I think, if you tell me if this fits for you, Gina, sometimes I create the image. I say, if you're walking toward me and it's pitch black and you can hear my voice, walk toward my voice, and I imagine myself in a tunnel where there's a 90 degree turn where I'm standing, and I'm looking over to one side and I'm saying, I can see the light at the end of your tunnel. You can't see it, but you keep coming my way, because you know, and that's what we ask them to do. If they trust us, then a lot of times they really are, and I just respect the heck out of this, but the idea that they're trusting us to say, you know, and usually with life, there are a lot of untrustworthy people. I mean, I really respect the risk it takes to trust those of us who are working to help them to come toward my voice, because there is a light over here. You just can't see it yet.
Right.
Sometimes I think we're the guardians of that. I think we hold on to that. And sometimes I'll tell my clients, it's like, even when you can't feel the hope, I can hold on to it. I never lose hope about you. I believe in you even when you don't believe in yourself. And that's a nice thing to have somebody help you keep up with.
I believe that's a huge part of our job. I mean, I'm having that conversation quite often, because mm-hmm. people are hopeless.
And when you feel hopeless, motivation just goes. There's
right.
If I don't believe, I have a little motivation checklist. It's on the free download page of my website. But it has a certain aspects of motivation, and one of them is, do you believe it's possible? And so a lot of times people will believe it's possible for everybody else, but not for themselves. And so, but if you think about it, if I'm trying to do something that I actually, when I look down deep inside, do not believe is possible, I'm not going to try.
Right.
If I don't believe it's possible, I'm not going to
try. Why try?
Yeah. And so the energy just drains right out of that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And so we hold it for them, because that does change. People turn all the time.
Absolutely.
But they have to keep coming back to feel that, and eventually they feel it from us first,
right.
And then they begin to feel it themselves.
It's one of the most fun parts of, there's a lot of things fun about what you and I do for a living, but that's some of the most fun part about that, is to be able to be able to see that stuff and feel that stuff, you know, sometimes before our clients do. You know, I make a joke often about how at the end of a session, I'll say, I feel better. I feel much better. And I've had some really good insights. And it's like, and maybe you'll have them later.
But as
I understand them better and better and better, sometimes it does take a while for them to see what I see.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got stress in their lives, right? I mean, that's part of our human experience. And one of the things I learned coming out of my anxiety, I had anxiety for many years, and all of this, you said this earlier, all the things I worried about, none of them happened.
Yeah.
But lots of huge things happened afterwards, right?
Yeah.
But I could handle every single one of them.
That's beautiful. Absolutely.
Because they were right in front of me, right?
Right.
So the ones that the bully's talking about, how can I handle, right? It's not, it's not real, it's not there. Is that the general, is that the, what about that kind of stress? Like,
well,
what do we do with that?
And you can re-ask this if I'm missing the point, but I want to make one point about what you said because it's perfect. It's we also teach there's no such thing as perfect, so it's really not perfect.
Right.
But I love it. It's what you, what we do is we don't give ourselves credit for what we have accomplished. What you just said is just like we can look at the prophet who's never right. What you said, if you look at your history about the strength, mm-hmm. about the challenges you've been given in your life,
yeah.
you've made it through every single one of those.
Now, yep.
But we don't, when we're feeling afraid, we don't stop and think about, well, you know what, this may be difficult, but nothing's stopped me so far. So
right.
The truth is, if you and I are betting on these guys rather than doing therapy with them, basically what we're saying, I'm betting you're going to make it through this one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's helping them to see that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I didn't answer your stress question. What was it?
Well, you know, I think it's that kind of stress that we have in our, it's understanding then that life is stressful.
Yeah.
Because there's this, we're sold a different picture of life in American life,
mm-hmm.
you know, this perfect, if you wear this, everything gets better, you drive that, it gets better. So, and then people take all that on as stress. I guess I'm trying to, because they're not perfect, right? We
right.
just
right.
talked about
right.
that. So what do, you know, I guess I'm trying to ask, like personally, what do you do for personally keep your stress levels in check or keep yourself to be in a state of feeling like you can handle things even though life is happening? Do you have any personal practices?
Well, yeah, I do, and it's like, but we also want to put in a bigger picture. Part of it is I was in years and years of therapy. Okay, so it's like,
yeah.
like this again doesn't
yeah.
come easily, and it's like, so lots of therapy, lots of support groups, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that stuff. But it's for me, and I think everybody needs to find those guiding principles. But it's like mine is, I have three things in my life that I take a moment, not any formal meditation. I live on a farm, so I let the ducks out of their pen every morning. And I have these three things. It's gratitude, humility, and kindness. And I spend a little time just close my eyes right there by the duck pen, and I just think in terms of that. And my idea is quite simply, if I every day I can have gratitude, I can have some humility, and I can have some kindness in my life. If I can have those things, you know, that's a good day. So those, to me, it's reminding myself of those things. And the other thing I was just talking to somebody about earlier today is I am a major fan of, and you are too, I can tell, of having fun. And you know, I'm surprised very often when I talk to somebody and realize they're not having fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I mean, it's like they don't laugh. Maybe some people don't laugh.
No.
I mean, on a bad day, I laugh. I have a feeling you do. Sometimes
well,
I
yeah.
laugh about how bad it is.
I know. Well, you actually have to.
It's so freeing. It's, you know, it's what I learned about fun is it's not just the end result. It is actually a method. It's like for us to consciously seek out fun. I need to do something that's fun. It's like, and now it's very easy for me because I'm easily entertained. It doesn't take a lot. It's like there can be a TV show that I'm looking forward to watching with my wife at the end of the night, or you know, we can do that, or you know, it's just
yeah.
like it can be anything simple. Take a walk, whatever it happens to be. But it's like for me, it also means what helps with the stress is being very conscious of, you know, what I'm doing, and specifically that I'm doing it because I choose to do it.
Yeah.
See, we live by default for a big part of our lives, and what we do when we get to where we're paying attention, we want to live the rest of our lives by decision, not default. I want to, you know, if I'm not paying attention, then I'm not doing everything I can. I need to wake up, pay attention to my life. What am I doing? You know, what am I, you know, I mean, it's simple stuff, but it's like, you know, what am I doing? Well, I'm looking for today. I was looking forward to getting on your podcast with you. And I just had a feeling from our correspondence that we were going to have fun. And it's like,
yeah.
and what this experience is for me is really is nothing but fun.
Yeah, me too, Tom. I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I kept thinking, I just want to say that this was fun.
Yeah,
and you can make your life like that, right? Where it doesn't have to be the big thing.
Right, but everybody finds their own way. So people, I'm silly. You seem to be silly. I think
I'm silly.
Like, everybody's not silly. When I do professional training workshops, I tell people, don't let your graduate program train you out of the deal, because they often do. You know, don't let your real self there. But I said, you know, be who you are. So and the example I gave us is, so if you're not goofy like me, then your therapy is not going to be goofy. If you're a nurturing person, your therapy is going to be nurturing. It's like, so don't, you know, don't be somebody else, be yourself. And that's what I think we're bringing people to, is that, and especially I think when we're goofy and silly like you and me, making some assumptions, we're good role models for the fact that you can be whoever you are. It's like, you and I, we're getting away with it.
That's right. They haven't locked us up yet, Tom. That's right. And I actually am sometimes with clients when, because I have a super nurturing side too. I had to learn to embrace that I'm often looked at as a lot of mother energy, but that's like the goofy mother, I have to say, because I have all my little chicks under my wing, but we're having a lot of fun. So when I'm laughing with a client, like I sometimes they look at me like, does this really go on? But yeah, like, we're roaring. This is good. This is very helpful.
Yeah, I am writing a quote from you. I am a goofy mother. I love that.
Boy,
you can say that in any different way. I'm a goofy mother.
Well, there we go. And there's those days too.
Absolutely. It's like, and that's a great example, because so often in our business, the nurturing in particular is discouraged, you know.
Right. Very much so.
Bottom line is, we're professionals. We can be trusted with boundaries. It's like, I know how to be kind to somebody and not lose myself in that relationship, you know.
Exactly. It's like, that's right.
You know, we trust ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And they can feel that. Yeah. I know. I actually just had an incident on my the Facebook. We have a very big Facebook group of 4,000 people, and somebody brought something up about, you know, I should be sending people to physicians, and I shouldn't be talking about these things. And I had to say exactly what you just said. I actually have been doing this so long, I'm very comfortable with what my boundaries are. Mm-hmm. I know when I need to send someone somewhere else. I know when I need to send them to the suicide hotline. I know.
Right.
I trust my boundaries.
Well, and we everybody in this business, everybody plays their position, and it's like, if you know your position well, and it's like, and exactly right. It's like when there's you need to talk to is Dr. So-and-so, or you know what, you need to talk to Gina. She's better at this than I am. It's like, that's the way that works. It's like, I don't know. Sometimes I think people have a little trouble because we don't look exactly what people think about when they think about professional people helpers.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not smoking a pipe with a big leather chair, you know.
You do have the beard, little beard though, Tom.
I do have the beard. I can scratch my beard and say, well, I don't know. What do you think?
That's right. You got part of it.
Yeah.
I hope everybody can hear that Tom, he is an amazing therapist. And if you're looking for somebody and you wanted to work online, Tom can do that for you too. He's a therapist, and a lot of the people I work with as a coach have their therapists too, and we work in conjunction. And so everybody, like you said, everybody plays their part.
Because most of the remote clients I work with actually have a therapist local, which I think is good. Unless you just don't have somebody there, I don't think online therapy is really a substitute for sitting in the same room with somebody. So a lot of the people I work with, I'm kind of an adjunct to their therapy. A lot of eating disorder people, because of the specific techniques I use with eating disorder, will come to me for that kind of thing. So that's what I like to do, is I like to just sort of say, you know, I want to play a respectful role in what you're doing, and I want to be able to contribute what I can contribute and encourage, you know, I mean, we all need a team. You know, I don't know.
And that's what I'm finding.
There was never going to be one person who was going to help me. It was going to be a lot.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, that's what I find. Most people have built their own team.
Yeah.
You know, they have all their pieces, and it's a real joy to be a part and an honor to be a part of that.
It is. It feels so. Yeah. And because of this, because of our the onlineness of the world, it is nice that because there are certain places in the world, just local places or smaller places, where all the team members are not available or they're not.
Right.
You know, we were just talking about nutritionists who understand the eating disorder is very difficult to find. But, you know, but it's like. And in some smaller places, they're not there at all. So it's really nice to have the option of saying, let's go online and see who else we can find to help us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tom, thank you so much for spending this time with me to enlighten my listeners, actually to have fun with me and my listeners. Any last words before we spring you loose to go out and check on those ducks or whatever you do.
No, that's where I'm going to see my ducks. It's it's not the same as tequila, but it, you know, it still works. The last words were you got to have me back on. I want to talk to you some more because you're having too much
fun. I would love that. I'm so excited.
We got to play some more. I think we got something we can do. And the other is I've repeated it again and again. I want people to know that you know there will be times where you feel like you can't do it, but you can do it. You know, it's like, I don't know each individual, but I promise you, I've seen this again and again and again and again. It's like, whatever you do, I have a little sign on my wall that a friend gave, talent is nice, skill is okay, but in the end, it's persistence that pays.
Persistence. I love it.
Don't give up.
Thanks for sharing that, Tom. And thank you so much again for being here. And you will be back, I promise.
Good.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Today's quote is brought to us by Oriya Mountain Dreamer, and she actually wrote the foreword to Tom's book, Embracing Fear. The quote is, "There is only one freedom, the freedom from fear." Again, that's Oriya Mountain Dreamer. I'll be back in a few more days with another podcast. Until then, be well and aloha.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Anxiety Coaches Podcast. Find more information at theanxietycoachespodcast.com.